Cody is a young man I've known since he was perhaps 4 or 5. He's 24 now. He's on the autism spectrum, and he's not able to speak well. The term they use is non-speaking. We all assume Cody had the mentality of a 5 or 6 year old. He was shown children's cartoons. And after he started spelling, he told us, "I'm in here, stop showing me kid things." And I gradually found out he was interested in history and politics and World War II.
You're telling the story of the inner life of who these beautiful people are that have been, like you said, largely unseen in the completeness of who they are.
Whether it's a side effect of having autism to that degree or whatever the reason, he lives with that, the spiritual world always in focus.
One of the things that overwhelm me really is how they talk about Jesus as a God of light and love, and there's such a consistency there, and the depth of revelation as they've been able to communicate. I'd love just a moment of your time before today's show. If you're hungry for more of God and want to go deeper with Jesus, you're not alone. That's exactly why I created the International Mentoring Community. It's a space where I get to mentor you personally, helping you encounter Jesus in a real, tangible way. So every Friday, I go live on Zoom for an hour of encounter, slowing down, meeting with him, and letting his presence transform us. You'll be surrounded by intercessors and a global family of believers who love and support you. Plus, you get instant access to over 200 past sessions that are filled with teachings and testimonies and life-changing encounters. So if you are ready to experience his love more deeply and connect with a spiritual family that really gets you, join us at jointheimc.com. I can't wait to meet you inside. I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Live Your Best Life with me, of course, Liz Wright, and my very special guest joining me for today's conversation. He is the author of an extraordinary book called Decoding Cody, Secrets of the Spectrum, from people with autism who see, hear, and smell in the unseen realm. He was featured in the telepathy tapes, which went viral and became America's number one podcast. And honestly, his journey with the autistic community and the stories, their stories that he's been able to share, have impacted my life really profoundly and countless others that have now been able to watch the content that he's been able to share, and obviously the book that he has released. So it's my joy to welcome into the conversation with me today, Joe Infranco. Joe, welcome.
And Liz, it's my joy to be able to join you. Thanks for all that you're doing.
Oh, thank you for saying that. Okay, I wanted to just, for those watching or listening who are not familiar with your work yet, can you just give us an overview of the book and just share with us, like, who is Cody? Why did you feel that it was so important to put this book together?
Yeah, I'll try to do that concisely. So Cody is a young man I've known since he was perhaps 4 or 5. He's 24 now. He's on the autism spectrum, and he's not able to speak well. The term they use is non-speaking, not non-verbal. And that's because people with autism spectrum disorder can often say a few words, they can repeat a word, they can get sentence fragments. But if their speaking is not reliable, they can't converse in a way that, you know, they're making themselves known, they're kind of stuck. And the extraordinary journey started when Cody began spelling. And this is a relatively new therapy. It's been scientifically documented. There's some old kind of bashing of it, and those are old studies, long disproved, and I had to address that in the book because those stories tend to linger. Many of them that I've seen use what's called a spelling board. It's about the size of a laptop screen. It has letters of the alphabet, punctuation marks, and people with autism can train themselves to, they cut new neural circuits because autism affects fine motor skill. It's a brain-body disconnect. They train themselves to get a finger moving and learn to touch letters, and there's a delete key. To various degrees, some are able to use keyboards. It's highly individualized. And the big revelation for us was that we all assumed Cody had the mentality of a, 5 or 6 year old. He was shown children's cartoons, and after he started spelling, he told us, "I'm in here. Stop showing me kid things." And I gradually found out he was interested in history and politics and World War II, and I was amazed by this, Liz. Amazed on a personal and pastoral level. What is going on here? And yet we've had hints of that. We've had hints of people with autism diagnoses who have savant syndrome. They have prodigious mathematical skills or photographic memories. There was a movie some years back, Rain Man, with Dustin Hoffman, based on a real-life person who had this, again, prodigious memory. Yeah. And so From there, I met a few others. We have a large, relatively large special needs program, one of the largest in the Phoenix Valley, which is where I live now. And two young men, two young women became the focus of what was happening. And as they emerged, Matthew loves architecture. Elsa's my favorite. She went from children's cartoons to saying, "I love math and science." She's blown through advanced mathematics courses. She's memorized the periodic table in chemistry, wants to study the brain. So as they emerged, I was so intrigued. And then one day when Cody was talking about being oppressed, his word, by a demon and having physical symptoms, his dad asked me to go and pray. And of course I did. And we dealt with that. We, cast it out. And then Cody started describing how he had seen it go and how angry it was and what it was saying. But his description was detailed. And I asked a few additional questions and realized he was seeing like a seer would. Mm-hmm. He was seeing in the spirit world. So it turns out there's something, whether it's a side effect of having autism to that degree or whatever the reason, he lives with that, the spiritual world always in focus, has seen angels and demons since he was 3, visits with Jesus all the time. And then the other spellers in my church started telling us the same thing, reporting the same things on the same day. And I would admit I was skeptical initially, not skeptical of the gifts, of course. I live in that world. And the skeptical, are they really saying what they see? Are they looking for attention? Anyone can go on YouTube and call themselves a prophet. We all understand that. And I looked into it. My background, my training is I'm an attorney. I've worked on religious freedom cases for years and jury work. And I examined it the way I would examine witnesses for credibility, kind of an apologetic. Sometimes the way people examine the Gospels from an apologetic view, where people willingly die for a story they know is not true, that kind of thing. And it not only kept coming up truthful, they were seeing the same things on the same day and reporting it. And they're actually, I'm going to generalize, but the ones I've met, now I've met many, I've had many reach out to me from around the country, many, many Zoom calls, gone to people's homes for spelling. As a group, the people I meet, they're unusually honest, and there are studies that correlate honesty with autism. They tend to be selfless, more so than, I say, the average population. They intercede for us. And so as that was happening, I thought, this is extraordinary. This can't be the only place it's happening if this is something the Lord is doing. So I looked around online and I found, oh my goodness, here's a woman who wrote, Tani Cullen wrote about this in Josiah's Fire. Her son says the same thing. Oh, Katie Asher says the same thing about her son. Then I discovered there were communities and I reached out to them and they welcomed me in. They said, would you come in and pastor us? The kids are talking about spiritual warfare. They see angels and demons fighting with weapons. They don't know how to process these things. And they needed help as well with discernment of spirits. They don't always correctly interpret what they see, Liz. That's important. So as that was happening, some of them were in touch with Kai, the filmmaker, very talented filmmaker, who was doing the Telepathy Tapes podcast. And she reached out and asked, would I come on the show? I prayed and I felt, yeah, let me do that, because it's really all about what Holy Spirit is doing. The Father is moving through previously overlooked vessels. And let me say, I see some overlap with both near-death experiences that are now suddenly being talked about a lot, the way Muslims describe Jesus in visions and dreams throughout the Mideast. I could see pieces coming together, and I thought, all right, it seems like God is doing an extraordinary thing. And I went on, and she had me talk about the science of spelling, because I geeked out a little bit. I said, let me look at the research and make sure it's supportable. Yeah. And so I went into the research for her, including at leading academic institutions, but all the spiritual content was cut out. And it's just because that's not her perspective. She's looking more from a psychological point of view. She had a psychiatrist now whom I've met, and we've talked about this, who taught at Harvard and at Johns Hopkins, fine universities. So she was looking, I think, for some credibility. But the psychiatrist also is not a believer. And so I felt like, okay, this part of the story is not being told. Lord, please raise up someone to get this story out.
Yeah.
And perhaps a day or two later, I heard from a large podcast called Blurry Creatures, very popular with my older kids' age. When I mentioned it to my daughter, and I said, have you ever heard of, oh, Dad, we love that. My homeschool mom's group and my oldest grandkids, we all listen together. Why? Did you hear a good episode? No, I got invited on. I don't know who they are. And she went like this. So
that's a big deal.
I think it's like God's allowing us now to get this side of it out, because it really is about the gospel. And they all see Jesus. They describe him. He's comforted them all since the ones I know, obviously. He's comforted them since they were children and told them they have a plan for their lives. Cody told me he knew since he was a little boy that his story was supposed to be told to encourage the world. He even said, because a common question, Liz, if they're seeing Jesus, why are they not getting healed? And that's a tough question to answer in the time that we have. I'll just say, many of them have said to me they embrace their autism because of what God wants to do through it. Cody has said to me he would choose it if he had the opportunity to glorify God more effectively. And so, that can scramble our theology a little bit. And I asked him, well, how did you think that was going to happen when you're not able to speak and communicate and nobody knew you were inside? And his answer essentially was, well, Jesus told me, so it had to happen. And it's also been an interesting experience that, he and others have said to me, angels are saying it's time for this book, Joe, keep writing it. And, I've written things, but Liz, I never had the experience of a book writing itself like this one. It was so evident that Holy Spirit was moving in this. There were times I'd write a page and go, where did that come from? So that's kind of the story. And when the Telepathy Tape shot to number one in the world, not just the U.S.
Oh, really?
That brought autism and the telepathy part of it, which I view through a different lens. I see it more in terms of spiritual gifts, of course, from 1 Corinthians 12. And so that's a compressed version of it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So it's so impacted me what you're doing in these stories. And I think, you're telling the story of the inner life of who these beautiful people are that have been, like you said, largely unseen, in the completeness of who they are. One of the things that overwhelm me really is how they talk about Jesus as a God of light and love, and there's such a consistency there, and the depth of revelation as they've been able to communicate of spiritual truth, the things that they understand, their beautiful servant-heartedness, the desire to pray for all of us. You know, it was extremely humbling. I cried through most of it, actually, being honest.
Wow.
Because I was so impacted by the beauty and the depth of these precious people. Like, you know, that you're now able to tell their story to the world. I mean, it's just profound. But one of the things I wanted to ask you about, there's about 500 questions. We need to be talking for at least 5 hours. But I wanted to ask you about the hill, because that really, really impacted me, that it's not just one person's testimony and the way that they saw Jesus. So really, I wanted to ask you about that and just the impact it's had on you, really, listening to these stories, specifically about this spiritual place they go to and the depth of understanding of who Jesus is, really, their love, you know. So, yeah. Can you talk to us about the hill, the supernatural hill?
You're right. They're overwhelmed. I've asked now many dozens of them to describe Jesus. The first answer is always some variation of this. He looks like love. He is love for us. They are riveted by his eyes. Some have said to me, it's hard to even focus on the rest of his body, because when you see his eyes, you know so thoroughly how much he loves you and that you're totally forgiven for everything and how much he desires the best for you. When I've asked for a physical description, they'll give that as well. He's average height, has olive skin, sort of like Middle Eastern type skin, a dark beard, his hair is about shoulder length. They all always mention his hands have holes. Hands and wrists. Occasionally some will notice his feet. There seems to be some quality about the hands that the holes maintain their, I don't know the right word, freshness. They've not healed like scars might on our body. There's something about them that's a kind of a living, ongoing evidence of the sacrifice of Jesus. So the hill is a place they go. This riveted Kai, when she did the telepathy tapes, I was just finding out about it. I describe how we discovered it, and a woman spelling facilitator who has worked with Cody for a long time, and was sort of skeptical of this, and now she's seen it. Saw the hill when I asked Cody to describe it. When I heard Cody and others talking about it. He said, ask the facilitator, she's been there. And we kind of stared at her. And she said, 10 years ago, she said, I can't call it a dream. It was more like a vision. It was a grassy hill and Jesus was there. And she said, I was overwhelmed. I prayed for 10 years to go back and have that experience. And it hasn't happened. And she asked Cody, why was I allowed to see that? And he said, because God knew you'd be working with us, and he wanted you to understand what our world is like. So now there's a hill. It turns out some are telling me there may be multiple hills. People ask, what is it? It doesn't seem to be heaven. A few of them have said, it's not heaven. But there's an awareness sometimes the city is not too far away over there. As a placeholder, this is very imperfect. I'm calling it something like a suburb of heaven, but it's a place they're not in their bodies. They're in their spirit. They speak to each other. They make friends. I mean, there's so many stories, Liz, of this one knows this one from this city. I watched Elsa, one of my spellers, and Zahari, whom I met at a conference where I was speaking. Their moms came and took part in it with me, and they are best friends, deeply in love. They just sat together and held hands. And others have said, oh, they're together all the time on the hill. So the hill sounded initially like some kind of meeting place, where they're free and they can speak. It's just all understood. Thoughts are understood. And but number they for some reason they were always mentioning flowers. And I thought, well, why is that? There's vegetation all over. The grass is perfect. Everything worships God. The trees, the vegetation worships God. The animals there, yes, they're animals. They worship God. And the a few spellers finally told me a little bit more about the hill, the scent of the flowers. Just they smell there. They also smell on earth, by the way. I was just getting used to the fact, okay, they see, they hear. And a number of them have asked me about why they smell incense when angels are fighting for us. And I just don't have time to answer that now. But Revelation 5 and 8 give us hints about what incense is representing in heaven. But it turns out they are interceding for us. The flowers are in some way linked to human beings. They get given assignments. They're being taught by Jesus at times. And so there's a lot happening there. And Liz, this was really sort of blew the thing open to me. And I realized I didn't understand this. Initially, this was about, I thought, we have to see every human being as an image bearer of God. And that's, of course, true. We want to love them. We don't want families with special needs children struggling with the diagnosis, and they're not welcomed in churches because there's no place to integrate kids. I've talked to many parents saying, well, we don't go to a church. Why not? They've asked us not to come because my son or daughter yells out and can't control his or her body. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's not acceptable any longer. We have to change that equation and how we see people. So that, I think those are good motivations. What I didn't really see, Liz, was how much of a provision they are for us. I think, you know, when we're beyond the veil and we get the fuller picture, we'll be amazed to see people like Cody and others with non-speaking autism, and what God did through their lives. And now I see, I mean, some of them speak like Old Testament prophets. They have profound insights. You know, I remember one 10-year-old boy just with his mom. You know, we were meeting on a Zoom call, and he kept saying, you have no idea what Jesus did on the cross when he died for us. You think it was just about forgiveness of sins. You don't know how much he did, the thousands of things that happened when he died there. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, one moment he's a 10-year-old, he might be interested in sports or something, and then suddenly he's talking like a spiritual seer. And so now I see in God's way, it's God's wonderful paradoxical ways on display. The last will be first. You want to be great in the kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. Well, and the other thing that's hitting me, so I keep coming back to Matthew 25:40, what you've done for the least of these, you've done for me. And one verse, Liz, that's particularly gripped me now is in Luke 10, where Jesus sends the 72 or 70, depending which translation you're reading, out, gives them power over serpents and scorpions. And they affirm all these biblical things and that Jesus is the only way of salvation. When the disciples returned, they're rejoicing. Oh, the spirits were subject to us. Jesus, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And he's giving them a context for it that instead they should focus on and rejoice about the fact their names are written in the book of life. I think he's telling them prioritize. You have that power, but don't go running around thinking about that. The big picture is you're a child of God. And then it says Jesus rejoiced in the spirit. And a lot of translations don't really capture the beauty. It's exalting extremely. You can't picture it without seeing a big smile on Jesus's face. I can picture him sort of his hands lifted in this profound worship that he's letting the disciples in on this incredible joy. And do you know what he rejoices over? I thank you, Father, that you've concealed these things from those who are wise in their own eyes. And you've revealed these to who? To the children, to the babes, you know, or maybe we could say whoever he wants to reveal it to, and those who are, you know, like children, have the faith of children. So I'm realizing now I only had less than half of it. They're a provision and a blessing for us. So the story is still unwinding.
Yeah. I think that was one of the things that impacted me so deeply, was how much I was learning from these people that I had previously thought, you know, had a very young mental age and very, very limited capacity. Not realizing at all, of course, that there was a person in there that was very spiritually awake, certainly in the people that you interviewed, you know, and have relationship with, that there's a depth of relationship that they have that is profound, that's their inner world, is their life, you know, the richness of that. And to be able to now hear that and learn from that and understand that, you know, they go together and have friendship with each other in the spirit realm, and they communicate spiritually and just are so much more advanced in areas that, you know, I think have been underdeveloped in us because our external senses are more developed. And, you know, obviously that's a hugely simplified way of saying it, but it really did impact me that, and it just the depth. And I wanted to ask you as well, it must have profoundly affected your own relationship with Jesus and your own walk. You must have been impacted so much.
It has, of course. And, you know, one of the advantages of getting older for me is I'm more relaxed in my relationship with the Lord. My intimate time is in the mornings, and I guard it. There's a certain living quality to it where I feel less like I need to get things done as I see God open doors. And this is going to sound contradictory, but at the same time, I realize how insignificant I really am in this scheme of things, and how profoundly significant our lives actually are to God, and what He'll accomplish when we obey Him. You know, I mean, I've had negative comments about, overwhelmingly positive, but people always, whatever, misinterpret. I started a nonprofit with Cody's parents to get out free resources to people. I don't make a penny from the book. It goes to the ministry, which is Hidden Gifts Ministry. And I feel like I just want to be able to give that out. And the divorce rate, Liz, for parents getting a special needs diagnosis, if they're not getting support, if they're not plugged into a church and someone's not helping them, it approaches 90%. And Cody's parents worked through all those issues and were saying, no, we know where the enemy attacks families and individuals, and we need to get this out. It's motivated me to the point that everything else I have is secondary. I feel like God's just given me marching orders on this, confirmed it prophetically many times, even from strangers. And so I know there's something different about this, and I'm really overwhelmed. It feels like observing, you know, a miracle like blind eyes being opened. And we see miracles. We've seen people healed and things like that. There's a kind of degree of miracle where God is moving in the heart of a pharaoh or, a king like Nebuchadnezzar or something. You realize when Scripture says He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even imagine. I feel like I'm living that now. I'm trying less. I'm not as concerned about getting things done. I'm just resting more and saying, Father, you're going to make that happen as you want to. It's not passivity. It's not that I'm not doing things. But there's a place of rest that's more profound than any other time in my life.
Wow. Yes. Yes. And I think the more you go on, you realize we are so unconditionally loved. He is absolutely a God of love. We are absolutely His children. He's for us. And yeah, and we're privileged to walk our life out in that relationship and produce fruit, you know, of eternal value. And gosh, there are so many things I want to talk to you about. It's so impacting what you're doing. You're giving so many people hope. And like you said, just through those divorce statistics, 90% of parents are breaking up because of the challenges of the walk. And I think what you're providing is gold, because it's an insight, and it's providing hope, education and hope, and so much more. And the fact that you are serving that community, the families, giving support where you can, giving them resources that will hopefully change their lives for the better, and giving them insight into the inner life of their children is just absolutely amazing. So how can people get hold of you? What's the easiest way? Is it the ministry?
Yeah, and that would be hidden gifts ministry.org. If okay. people have questions about resources, I get a lot of emails. Believe it or not, I try to answer everybody. You can email me there. You can email me at church. You can go on my Instagram account, which is Pastor Joe Infranco, Infranco. And be patient. It may take a while to get back to you. But if your question is about, I've never heard of spelling, or is there somebody who does that around here? But you need to find someone qualified. There's training in order to be a spelling facilitator. You don't just kind of pick it up and it happens. We're continuing to post free resources there. We're going to eventually do marriage videos. We've linked to ministries that have walked through this. I've met a number of families, and they've started their own nonprofits. We're trying to get the whole community together to ask how we really honor God in this. So resources, questions, go there. You'll see it. In fact, if people want a copy of the book, they can get it there. It's available, of course, on all the usual places, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and a number of places in the UK also. But if they go on the website, they can make any donation. There's a suggested, but anything, anybody who wants it will get it. And again, we want to try to minister and walk this with people. Cody's parents have Zoom calls. They retired. He was a pastor also. And we were together at the same church. He told me, Joe, I've never been busier. They're meeting with families and parents all the time, with everything from the shock of the diagnosis. What do I do? I'm going to leave this world before my child, who's going to care for it. All the questions that people have. And the other thing is hope. God doesn't give us more than we can handle. I don't say that lightly. There's real suffering in the world. We understand that. It's always better when we walk through it together and we have that kind of grace and love for each other, and we just see what God is doing. So that's how people can get me. Or if they're old-fashioned, they can email me at my church, jinfranco@Highlands, H-I-G-H-L-A-N-D-S, at highlandschurch.org. We're in sunny Scottsdale, Arizona, where we don't see much snow, Liz. So.
No. Well, I'm sure people will be reaching out to get some help to connect with you, and many questions, many resources needed. And thank you for your obedience. Thank you for listening to Holy Spirit and just spearheading what's become a movement, really, so that's absolutely transformational in its impact. So thank you. We'll be praying for you.
Thanks. And again, if people have common questions about autism, you'll find resources addressing those on the site. There's some video. There's a movie about what spelling is. Books by other people they describe their spelling experience. I've never lived in that world. But if those are your questions, you have a member of your family or you have a friend and you're dealing with autism or others, I'm hearing the same thing now with Down syndrome. That's a really good place to start. Go into the resources there, and we'll keep populating as God enables us. So great to
Wonderful.
Be with you.
Great to be with you too. Thank you so much for giving us your time. And guys, thank you for giving us your precious time as well. I know that you will have been encouraged by today's conversation. And honestly, like I said, it's this work has impacted my life. It's changed me, really. So have a wonderful week. And I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless.